Hey, this is Greg Berger, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome back to Cinema Geeks. Yes, we are back once again. It's been a while, but we are here to continue our look at the career of Kevin Smith. This time, we will be reviewing Zack and Marie Make a Porno. And joining me on this adventure through the career of Kevin Smith is Hard Candy Mandy. How's it going?
Still here. Still holding.
Still. Yes. Kevin Optimus Solo.
I am here as well.
Yes, under the weather, but still sticking it out.
That's right.
Get the gold star for today.
Thank you.
And last but not least, Matt Fridley Sent.
Hey, it's a full house this time.
Yeah, everyone's here. Yeah, we've had some weird scheduling, but we're back to look at the career of Kevin Smith. If you've been listening for the first time, we've started with Clerks, and we went through all of his movies, and a few more to go. Now we're in kind of a newer, I guess, age of Kevin Smith's career, we're seeing him escape from the Viewersky universe a little bit and trying something new with Zack and Marie Make a Porno. And I know a big reason this film itself actually has an interesting history, where it actually started off as this random television series that Kevin Smith wanted to make with Jason Lee back in the 90s about him being in the porno industry and it just not working out. And then also Kevin Smith really wanted to work with Seth Rogen, and then finally they came together to make this film. Knowing that, you know, Seth Rogen, when this came out, was kind of emerging as a huge star. He was in a lot of Jub Patel movies, from 40-Year-Old Virgin to what is that other movie that he's with Kevin Hagel? Knocked Up. Yeah. So he was kind of weirdly going into this, I think, a bigger star than Kevin Smith in a way, with his own kind of notable style with his work with Jonathan Apatow. So, I mean, I guess I'll start with you. What are your overall thoughts of Zack and Marie? And do you feel like, you know, knowing that you have Seth Rogen and you have Kevin Smith, does it feel like more of a meshing of the two, or do you feel like that they worked well together, or does it feel like two separate movies where partially Kevin Smith and partially kind of Seth Rogen doing his thing?
Before you mentioned anything about that, I didn't think about it, but now that you've said that and kind of posed this question here, it's hard to say. I want to say it feels just like a Seth Rogen movie, but then I feel like some of like the storyline and like the dialogue is definitely Kevin Smith. So I don't know. It's really hard to say. It's definitely a blend of some sort, whether it leans one way or the other, kind of depends on the moment in the film, I think.
Makes sense. So overall, did you compare to everything we watched so far? I know you've had some Kevin Smith movies you enjoyed, some that you didn't. Where does this stack up compared to those?
This is kind of middle of the road for me. Like, it's, I've seen it multiple times. I think I even freaked Kevin out because I knew some of the lines in the movie, and he's like, "What, you know lines from this movie?" And I do. But I mean, it was, I don't know, it's not one that I would say is my favorite, because I feel like there's a lot of just, I don't know, the whole thing. Like, they make a porno and then it never actually sell it. Right? Is that the deal? Like, it never actually, like, came out. So they didn't really, like, make a porno, did they? Like, in the end. Like, that's a big question.
So, yeah, does it follow through with its title? I don't know, Kevin, do you think it follows through with the promise of what the title is trying to deliver?
I mean, they made a porno. Just because you don't sell something doesn't mean you didn't make it.
But did they finish, like, the video? They didn't finish even shooting it. There were still more scenes, and they didn't shoot them. But the whole thing is this whole premise is for them to make a porn so they can realize their true feelings for each other when they have sex for the first time in front of a bunch of people. Like, it just, I don't know, it was very outside of the realm of believable. Like, but I can believe Jay and Silent Bob dressed up as superheroes being, like, wired through the mall more than I can believe this movie.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, I don't, you know, well, Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks being a couple is a little bit, I don't know, little unbelievable, but hey, you never know. He probably has a fantastic personality. But Kevin, questions for you. So, like, obviously, with the title like Zach and Marie make a porno, they're not hiding what it's trying to be. Do you feel like, you know, this obviously is a movie where Zach's is its main topic? Kevin Smith is a person who's never really shied away from that with his dialogue. Never really had like heavy nudity in his films, but of course, it's a little bit different. Do you feel like there is too much shock value in this? Does it overcome or overbear more of the human aspect that we typically get with Kevin Smith? Or is that just really, you know, the shock value is really in the title, but the actual movie itself, the execution is much different?
I think the shock value is in the title, and then there's way too many attempts for shock value throughout. I think this is prime example of why it's not always... of why it's a good thing that not all 13-year-olds have the ability to make movies. Because if this is something that was like on his mind when he was younger, or this, that, and the other, it was probably something that should have just stayed one of those things that was on his mind that never came to fruition. I don't know. I am not a fan of this movie at all. I did not enjoy it at all. To me, there was... I get what you're saying, and I didn't think of that either with the whole Seth Rogen versus Kevin Smith, but I don't think it's... I enjoyed the actors, I guess, through it. Like, I didn't... It wasn't like I disliked Seth Rogen's performance or Elizabeth Banks or any of the other individuals. Like, I enjoyed their characters and their acting. I just didn't care for the plot or the writing or any of that type of stuff. Like, I felt like it was just doing... I felt like both the best parts of Seth Rogen are lost in this, and I felt like the best parts of Kevin Smith are lost in this movie. Maybe because it was a little of both, it didn't succeed in either factor for me. I didn't find much of the dialogue interesting or clever like I have in a lot of the other stuff. I was angry when I was watching this movie for some reason, I think. To start off, it started off on a great note. Let me just point this out. I only wrote one note for this movie, and that is, like, in the opening sequence, they play Sex and Candy by Marcy's Playground, which, like, immediately took me back to that time period, and I was like, oh, I used to love this song. Like, this is great. Let's do this. Let's have a great soundtrack and some fun here, and then I didn't like anything else after that.
Man, coming out swinging. Matt, how about you? Overall opinions when it comes to Zach and Marie make a porno? Do you, as Kevin mentioned, do you feel like Smith and Rogan, they complement each other well, or is it just a meshing that seems like they bring out the worst of each other?
So I'm not certain I've ever seen a Seth Rogen movie. Like, I never saw Knocked Up. I never saw Pineapple Express. This might be the first time I ever saw a Seth Rogen movie. Wow. He might have been a background character, or like a side character in movies I've seen. I think that's happened, but none of the ones where he's, you know, on the cover, say.
Have you seen Superbad?
No.
Have you seen... Oh, no, I know you haven't seen that. You didn't see This Is the End either?
No.
Or Neighbors?
No.
Okay, then you haven't.
It's just a massive blind spot. You get somewhat of a feel for him through
Coming
Treasures.
Coming up next month on Cinema Geeks, Seth Rogen spotlight. Just kidding. Keep going, Matt.
Interesting. I mean, here's the thing. I think those movies are very much targeted at me as an audience member. I think I would enjoy them, but I just haven't seen them. And so, like, I don't have that. I don't have anything going into this where I'm, like, looking for what Seth Rogen does or is known for. Just because I haven't experienced that. So I didn't have any of that. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm going to be the least harsh on this, but, like, I thought it was an okay rom-com. Like, I'm a big fan of a romantic story, and I thought that this was an interesting, different take. You know, we saw a scene like Love Actually or Valentine's Day or whatever, where there's, you know, nine people all falling in love around one day or whatever. And so to see a very different humorous take on the on a well-tread thing is a breath of fresh air. I mean, I don't think it was masterfully done or perfect in any way. but I don't hate the movie like everyone else does, I guess.
Well, what I guess in my mind, like what I'm having a trouble with is what separates this from a what separates this from like a horny juvenile teenager's version of a rom-com? Like what makes it interesting or clever, or what makes it stand out? Like that's all I could get in my like that's all I could think the whole time was like this is what a teenager would write. Like it's just so, I don't know, it was just felt juvenile to me. I don't know.
I guess I'm probably leaning more towards Matt. I mean, certainly there's juvenile aspects to it. I mean, the humor and I mean even the sequence with Justin Long and Seth Rogen, which is to me probably one of the funnier moments with his discovery of him being, you know, in porn. Actually, one of the there's a great like outtake of just them going back and forth forever, just trying to basically one up each other with crazy porn titles, which I would probably recommend in watching. But I thought it did what Smith tends to do well when it comes to just relationships is the messiness of it all. And especially like with these characters, I think as Matt pointed out, like comparing it to other rom-coms, something like Love Actually, is that these characters are a little bit more of a mess. Their lives are, you know, they're kind of distraught. They're obviously super poor. This is why they're doing it in the first place. And I think just that perspective, it makes it a little bit different. And I did think how it kind of got to its conclusion. Yes, they don't officially make that porno, but the final conversation between Rogan and Elizabeth Banks, I thought that was the most like Kevin Smith moment out of all of it, where, you know, we often like out of all the craziness, out of all the funniness, there's always like that sequence where things get a little bit and you kind of see, okay, this is where he's trying to make his big point of what he's trying to say here. It's not to me as impactful as something as Clerks or even Chasing Amy, where I think it was a little bit more cutting edge and trying to do something new. And I think that's to me the biggest downfall to this is it does feel like Smith is trying, similar to like some of the other movies we talked about, where Jersey Girl felt like he was trying to tell someone else's story or doing it like a way that outside of his norm. This too felt like he was trying to, you know, he wanted to work with Seth Rogen, and I think trying to write towards what would work for Seth Rogen. And maybe that caused his own style to be muted a little bit. And what you're left with is just the broader strokes when it comes to comedy, and not necessarily something where, like, if I didn't put Kevin Smith's name on this going into it and just, like, said, watch this movie, I don't necessarily think it – I would feel like it's a Kevin Smith movie for the most part. But – I think when it just lets the characters and let the actors be funny, and I think they do have a good chemistry together, like Craig Robinson, who I think is a pretty underrated comedian. I think they and Elizabeth Banks, who I think is I don't know if she's an underrated actress, but she can be funny. She can be dramatic. She does a lot of like I think she heavy. There's a lot of heavy lifting that she puts in a much better performance than maybe some of the material that she's given. She's probably the best actress that we've seen in a Kevin Smith movie, I would think. Maybe not. Maybe Chasing Amy would be the downfall. But I guess, like, there are things I liked about it, but I just overall felt it you know, it was it not generic, but it wasn't anything that I felt, you know, deserved compared to, like, Kevin Smith's best. It was more going through the motions and maybe making things a little bit different compared to other romantic comedies, trying to be a little bit more edgier, but also not at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know if maybe he had to go further with it or not, but it just by the end of it got a little old. And I don't know if it ever really came together by the end.
Yeah. Obviously you can tell from what I said already that I didn't feel like it came together for me either. So I agree with that part, Amanda.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't feel like there was, like consistency throughout. I feel like I got really bored in the middle, and then towards the end it shifts completely from something that's funny to now they have a relationship. Like there are little moments where their relationship is building seem too small for what their like so-called love is at the end. I don't know if that made sense. Like, I didn't believe there like this huge connection happened overnight.
Yeah, I think not necessarily. You see it somewhat building, obviously, when they, you know, there's, you know, they're them being friends, and I think they did make like good friends. I don't know if their chemistry ever gotten to the point where I felt like, yeah, there was actually some kindling there, like an actual relationship. But I did ultimately feel like they cared for one another, and they just didn't know how to deal with it. So once they brought in like sex into that moment, it was just this odd sequence where it didn't work. But I also wondered if that was kind of purposeful, because, you know, they weren't necessarily meant for each other in that way. Yet they're, you know, they were in this weird relationship where they're friendly, and when they try to bring sex into it, it just necessarily didn't work, and that's why it kind of got messed up there for a while. So I don't know. I feel like when Smith tends to write a lot of relationships, they always end up not working out the right way, or just but I don't know. I just feel like there was potential here. Like, there was, like, this could have been like his, like a something like Chase and Amy, but ultimately I don't, like, Chase and Amy, I think, had a point or felt like it had like a stronger voice, where this was missing that for me. I don't know. Matt, I feel like we're bashing this. I don't know if there's anything else you want to bring up that you really enjoyed about it.
I wish I remembered it a little better, because I know that it wasn't perfect. I know that I had a lot of very minutia problems that I just do not remember. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say it like it earned its ending, even. And yeah. I'm definitely not going to say that it's up to the level of Chasing Amy. Chasing Amy is one of my favorite films of all time, and this would not make my top 100. But I mean, I don't know. I sit in the area of, like, hey, it's not terrible, but I don't even think I could recommend it.
So, yeah. Like,
I'm not going to be its defender. It's it's an okay movie.
Yeah, and that's often like the hardest one to talk about, because it's not like I know Kevin seemed to be has the strongest opinion towards of not liking it, but like I thought there were funny bits, and I legitimately laughed at times, but it's like a Saturday afternoon movie that you like put in the background, assuming there's people there that won't be offended by it, because there's a, you know, certainly nudity, but it I don't know, like, it, like, I think that's ultimately like the lack of passion that we're many of us are having for it kind of was evident by the movie that we got.
Yeah, I think it just was missing that, like, if you're going to go that route, and if you're going to have that, you know, kind of tiresome lewdness or juvenile aspects that I was complaining about, like, I could stomach that if, like, the payoff, there was some type of payoff at the end for me, but, like, if you're just doing that and then wrapping it up like a, putting it in, like, this romantic comedy package, like, I don't know, like, it was just missing that punch, missing that payoff at the end, that, like, and it wasn't clever enough throughout. Like, it was, yes, there were some moments that were funny and here and there, but it wasn't like it was like some of his previous films where you can just relish in the dialogue and it doesn't really necessarily matter what all happens in the end. Like, this one needed something. It either needed to be more clever throughout, or it needed to have some type of payoff at the end for me, and instead it was just like, it was like going through the motions of all this, like, lewdness, but in the end we're just making a romantic comedy. I don't know, there was nothing here for me, I guess, except I don't mind the acting performances. Like I said, it's probably based on some of the films we've talked about through so far, some of the best acting, I guess, in all of his films. I mean, here there's been like good roles, but like it was pretty good throughout. Like, most of the actors were legit and doing a decent job, so I'm not dissing on them at all. I don't know. I didn't get the point.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about, because one thing we haven't talked about were the people in it outside of Seth Rogen. I mentioned Elizabeth Banks, but obviously we have, you know, Jason Mewes and anyone else, like, performance-wise that stood out that people wanted to
discuss. Justin Long? Being a Sherpa up the mountain of gayness?
Yeah, I do feel like he was probably, I know a lot of his stuff was absolute, but I do think he, you know, I'm a fan of Justin Long. I don't know why, I've always found him funny, but I did think like he had some of the best moments in the entire movie.
I found it interesting that they said that the female lead role was written for Rosario Dawson, but she was busy, so they had to go to Elizabeth Banks. I don't know if that would have... I thought Elizabeth Banks was good in it, though, so I don't know if that would have necessarily changed my opinion too much on it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe her and Seth Rogen would have maybe had a little bit more chemistry. I'm not sure. I thought, like, even looking... I think we had a similar conversation with Clerks, too, but I think she... Elizabeth Dawson, I think... I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if she would have done better or if it would have made a big impact. But does having this outside of the View, if this was made within like the characters that we know, having you know Jane, Silent Bob, or anything like that, would it have done anything differently? Do you feel like it would feel more like that, or was keeping it separate from that like the right thing to do?
I liked that we got. Jason Mewes in a different character besides Jay. I think he was a lot more toned down, and he was easier to stomach. And you could like him a little bit better. Like, he wasn't such a depraved, awful human being. Like, he could not feel so bad to, like, be on his side about stuff.
I actually think I would have liked this better if it was still in the VSQ universe. Like, if they had done this and it was, like... actually Jay or Silent Bob that was having this connection with somebody and learning through this bizarre scenario, maybe I would have been able to buy in more.
Jay got his little love affair though in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, I'm just saying like it gave him another chance to like dig more into one of those two characters in this setting. Maybe I would have bought it more. I don't know.
You can't have more Silent Bob because he's silent. Like, you can't have maybe him as like made the it main, more main interesting. Character.
The first ever silent porno. I guess probably not first, but
I mean, you could make it Silent Bob's, you know, coming out as a person who talks party movie.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess I understood kind of getting away from that, and I don't know if it would have impacted my enjoyment. It was fun seeing Jason Mewes like in a different role,
yeah.
Which you know, and seeing all of Jason Mewes, which you know, hey. Yeah,
there you go. I got a comment on that. Just for because of the timing of it all, I happened to watch this movie the same week DC launched their whatever their adult titles lineup was, and so I got to see Jason Mewes and Batman's canonical dick in the same week.
What?
Man, there you go.
What else do you need to achieve in life?
Yeah, I've done it all, guys.
Let's walk away now. That's why it took so long to do this episode. We were just trying to figure out how to
get Matt
put
Becker.
That all in one pop.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you hit that status and that the viral tweet you had, I mean, what more can you do? You just need a viral tweet about you know seeing both of them.
I tried to put it out there, but just no one bit.
But yeah, anything else? Anyone? I know we're not a huge amount to say, but ultimately, it's kind of the product that we got. I know, like I said, I think there is a better movie here, but it just I don't know. There were, I mean, I did find the audition scenes pretty funny, like the even like seeing Jim Norton show up and things like that. And I think that was you know, it had bits, but it felt like going into this, like I could come up with the jokes I thought I would see in this, and then I pretty much saw all those, and I don't know. So,
yeah, I mean, would any of you go out of your way to watch this again?
I saw it before this, you know, just when it first came out, and I've never had, and I haven't watched it until we did this retrospective. So I guess the answer to that question would be no.
Amanda, would you watch this again?
I've seen it a bunch because, like, if it's on TNT or something like that, and it's on TV, I'll watch it. But I don't put a disc in to see this.
How is the cable edit of this movie? How does it come out?
It's actually not that bad. I mean, it's just as forgettable. Like, I don't know. I can't remember if they cut the poop part out or not. Like, I don't know.
It was such a memorable experience for you.
I'm trying for that not to be a memorable experience.
Do you guys remember when it was coming out in your... Because I was reading a lot about how a lot of, like, in certain areas, a lot of, like, it was super heavy edited. Actually, what's kind of an interesting story, I think, it was the story of this movie and just like trying for them to get it marketed and the challenges that they came across, like how the poster was made just to be as inoffensive. That's why they use stick figures. how like certain cities wouldn't allow it, like in certain areas, obviously, like they wouldn't say, you couldn't say in a porno. And it was just like it did seem to really hurt the film, because I know they were really hoping, like Kevin Smith was hoping, this would be like his biggest movie. And it is, I think, as of 2009, I don't know if it still is now, or it was one of his biggest films, but it wasn't necessarily to like what Seth Rogen was doing with stuff like Knocked Up. So I know, like, after he was really kind of distraught with how it didn't do what he was hoping for. But I don't know if it's simply because it's a hard movie to market to a lot of people.
If it was the best performing movie at that point, I would have to say that it still is, right? I mean, we're not trying to say that, like, Red State, Tusk, or Yoga Hosers was more financially successful, I wouldn't think. Unless I missed something on those ones. Maybe they made more money than I thought. But Cop Out? I don't know. How did Cop Out do compared to that? That'd be the only close one, I guess, maybe.
No, I'm excited for that one. I love that movie.
I'll check, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, this movie did well. I mean, even though it might not have hit his expectations, it doubled its budget. I mean, it made, like, what, 48, 49 million or something like that on a 24 budget. And it did well on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a 65%. I would consider that well for this movie.
Hitler?
I don't get it, but it did.
Cop Out did do better, but okay. It's Cop Out, Zack and Mary, Dogma. Like,
makes sense.
But Red State only released in 5 theaters, so that's not it. That's oh. Not a fair, and made over a million.
Should we look forward to that or not?
No, actually, I've heard from Nate of all people that it's probably the best Kevin Smith movie there is. But it's a hard, serious, like, thriller movie. I'm not looking forward to it because I'm terrified of it.
I don't know what to do. I have 5 films we have left.
I have seen Red State, and I remember it's. I think it's not something to be fearful of, compared to other movies we have to watch in the end of this retrospective.
Sure.
So that's not one you need to worry about at all.
All right.
So, but yeah, anything else before we bring this episode to a close?
I'm good.
All right. Well, let's go with final thoughts and overall grades. Amanda, let's start with you.
Oh, I don't even know what else to say about this, you guys. Like, I didn't need this to exist, really.
That's a movie club poster right there. I didn't need this.
I've said so many times.
I think, like, I'll give it a 3. A generous 3.
Kevin, how about you?
I was bouncing back and forth between 2 and 3, so I'll just try to be in line with my wife here, and I'll say 3 out of 10 as well.
Wow, I think it's the first time I've ever heard you say my wife. Wow.
It might be the first time
I've said it out loud. I don't know.
You didn't say it right. You gotta do the Borat.
Don't do it,
she said. I gotta listen to her.
Matt, how about you?
My final thoughts are I would have loved to have seen the original script, in-movie script, completed. But since that whole set and all the costumes got destroyed, we'll have to deal with the movie that we ended up getting, both two incomplete porno movies within it. But as a middling movie, I mean, it deserves a middling score. I'm going to say 5.
Wow. I was actually about, because I said it was about an average film, maybe below average, or I would possibly go 4, because it's one of those things where it's like, again, like, it's after I've watched it, nothing really stood out to me, minus a few scenes here and there, and it just, I don't know, nothing really, I don't really have strong feelings for it one way or another. If anything, I'd rather having Kevin's strong dismissal of it, so it would have a bigger impact on me. But I think he's made, like, other movies we'll talk about worse, but I think this one just, I don't know, it doesn't feel like there's anything here that is warranted of, like, huge discussion, or feel like that there's much to say, unfortunately. So But we'll see. Of course, we have some movies that are still yet to come out. We talked about, I think, next week. We'll be talking next time we talk. We'll be discussing Cop Out, and then we get into like the latter half of Kevin Smith's career, where he kind of goes more into a more horror thriller world, which should be a lot of fun, or at least interesting to talk about. Because this, I could see why he did this after this movie, because it felt like he just ran out of jokes to say. Like, he's done all the Star Wars and pop culture references, so let's move on from that. But maybe now that we have more Star Wars movies, we'll get a Clerks 3, who knows. But all right, well, if people want to listen to more of you or follow you on social media, Amanda, what would be the best way to do that?
Twitter, you can find me at HardCandyMandy, eyes no wise.
And Kevin, I know we have a lot going on right now, so I don't know if you want to talk about that and let people know how to follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to follow me or have any questions for me on Twitter, follow at Optimus Solo, but also follow at Geekcast Radio. We got a lot of stuff going on here towards the end of the year. We're currently finishing up our wrestling tag team tournament, trying to find the best wrestling tag team of all time. And towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, we'll start our top 100 wrestlers countdown, single wrestlers. So if you're a wrestling fan, we got a lot of content coming to you here towards the end of the year.
Yeah, and Matt, how about yourself?
I'm at Fridley Scent.
And I'm at Movie Revolt, and I will also some content coming out at the end of the year. I'm currently working on some end of the year list, which seems weird to say, but we're almost there. You know, we'll be halfway through November very soon, so I'll have some end of the year comic book list, top 100 comics of 2018, and probably some awards. I don't know, Kevin, if you'll be doing any posts or anything like that. I clearly have not watched enough movies to do anything movie related, because my top 10 wouldn't be able to be created, because I don't think I've seen 10 movies in 2018. I can do my top 10 Kevin Smith movies if I want.
There we go. I'll be doing something movie related towards the end of the year, and we'll also be getting closer and closer to finding out who drafted the best box office squad here, movie wise. I haven't looked in the last month or so, but we'll. Interesting to see where we all fall with that.
I was very happy to see that Grinch did really well, because that was like a late round pick for me, so made me happy.
It was a good pick.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to listen, follow me on Twitter. You can do it at Movie Revolt or the podcast at Cinema Geekcast. And as Kevin mentioned, at Geekcast Radio, I will be back shortly as we continue our look at Kevin Smith's career or more movie talk. Check out Cinema Geeks. Until then, thanks for listening.